These are the 10 players whose stocks fell the most after the NFL draft. And believe it or not, we're starting with Kyren Williams, who's actually a loser after the NFL draft weekend. And the reason is because the Rams in round three ended up taking a running back, and not just any running back, arguably the best running back in this draft class, in Blake Corum out of Michigan. Now, I didn't have him as my running back one, but he was definitely a top five running back and probably a borderline top three running back in the class. Now, with all that said, Kyren Williams' role last year was still elite. He was the number two running back in all of fantasy football behind only Christian McCaffrey. And he arguably had a better role than Christian McCaffrey. You can see right here, he played 84% of the snaps. I mean, that's the most out of anybody in the NFL last year. And if you scroll over his opportunities, that's his targets and carries per game, 23 per game. In today's NFL, for a player like Kyren Williams who came out of nowhere last year, that is elite. So it may be easy to think, oh, a third round running back in Blake Corum, this really isn't going to change much. But believe it or not, it's going to. Because part of Kyren Williams' great success and awesome season in 2023 was he had no competition, so he could see that elite role in 84-85% of the Rams snaps. Because his competition a year ago, as you can see right here, was these two guys. It was Ronnie Rivers and Zach Evans, who Sean McVay and the Rams just did not trust to put on the field. Evans was a late round, I think I want to say a sixth round draft pick last year, and he could barely get on the field even in the preseason. Now, it's not like Kyren Williams only found success because of his large role. It definitely helped a good amount, but he was also efficient. He ranked top 10 in yards per carry and yards created in 2023. But if he's going to be like a top 12 pick as he currently is right now in fantasy football drafts, you need that 80% snap share. And if it's going to drop down to even 60 or 65% with Blake Corum back there now, I'm not touching him in the top 12 or even top 15 picks. Because as I mentioned, Blake Corum being in this backfield does matter. He is a legit running back and arguably the best pure runner that was in this draft class. Now, Sean McVay was interviewed after the draft like most GMs and coaches are, and he basically said when somebody asked him about Blake Corum, yeah, we saw a lot of Kyren Williams traits right here. One of the things that jumped off is there's a lot of traits that reminded me of Kyren Williams. So they kind of view these guys as maybe not equals, but a guy who skills-wise and traits-wise can replace Kyren Williams, give him a breather on an entire series or two in a game, which is going to be like 30% of the snaps. And that's just the starting point. What if Blake Corum is actually really good, potentially even just as good as Kyren Williams? Because in college, he definitely was. At a similar size program, Kyren Williams went to Notre Dame and Blake Corum went to Michigan, where in 2022, he had his massive year of over 1,400 rushing yards. With the receiving yards of 80, he had over 1,500 total yards. And if he didn't injure his knee late in the season, I think it was a meniscus, he would have probably been a top 50 pick, maybe even a late first round pick in last year's NFL draft. So there's no doubt that this added competition in Blake Corum, who is a real true NFL rusher, is going to hurt Kyren Williams. Now, the number nine player on this list, who was the ninth biggest loser, you can call him, from the NFL draft weekend, is, believe it or not, Devon Achane, which may trigger some people as well, because every time Achane touched the ball last year, it felt like he had a 30 plus yard touchdown. But the reason why he did not benefit from the NFL draft was this right here. First of all, there was no first round offensive lineman taken like we thought they might do with their 21st overall pick. They took the edge Chop Robinson out of Penn State. They took a lineman in the second round, late second round. But here's the big one. They trade up in the fourth round to select Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. And Jalen Wright is legit, and he has the one thing that Mike McDaniel and this Dolphins offense loves, and speed. Wright ran a 4.38 40 time, and he led all the running backs in college football last year in runs of 10 plus yards. 26% of his carries went for at least 10 yards. So right there, he's probably the most explosive running back that came out of this draft class, and he's a raw player. He's a young player, just 20 years old. He could actually get better. And he adds a dimension to this backfield that they don't have. They have the speed, but they don't really have the size. Wright weighed in at 210 pounds at the combine. He probably plays a couple pounds bigger than this when Devon Achane is 188 pounds and Raheem Mostert is about 200 pounds. Now, I point out that Devon Achane is a loser here, but so is Raheem Mostert when you're going to add another running back, especially one who's 10 years younger than Raheem Mostert, to this backfield. But the reason why Achane is a bigger loser is because that he's the guy who's going to be taken in earlier in fantasy drafts, and Raheem Mostert was actually extended this offseason, was given like $9 million, a little over $9 million for a two-year extension, probably going to be there for at least this year. We'll see what happens in 2025, but they invested in Raheem Mostert and they invested in another running back, which just means that Devon Achane's role probably isn't going to be large entering 2024. Now, for the number eight loser from the NFL draft weekend, we're going to head to the San Francisco 49ers backfield. Because stop me if you've heard this one before, but the 49ers once again drafted a middle round elite athlete and size, and this time running back in Isaac Arendo out of Louisville. They've done it in the past with Raheem Mostert, with Matt Breida, with Terrion Davis-Price, with Elijah Mitchell. And now they do it with Isaac Arendo out of Louisville, and he was great there. I mean, he had a breakaway run rate, his runs of 15 or more yards 10% of the time. That's well above average. Now, he transferred to Louisville for his final year, where he actually saw his first really large workload. Once he actually saw his most carries in 2023 compared to his three previous years combined, 132. Looked good out there, averaging about 6 yards per carry, 810 total yards, added a couple of receptions. And this was as he was a running back two on that Louisville team behind Joar Jordan, who was also drafted in the NFL draft. So not even a full-time player yet. And a big reason why the 49ers probably drafted him, and maybe why you heard his name, is because of what he did at the NFL combine. At 221 pounds, so a big running back, he runs a 4.33 40 time, the fastest running back in this class, and also one of the biggest biggest running backs in this class, also shows elite burst and elite agility. So now you look at the 49ers backfield where he's going to go into, and of course Christian McCaffrey's the running back one. This isn't to say that anything's wrong with Christian McCaffrey, but if he was to miss some time or just a pure handcuff here, it makes things a lot worse for Elijah Mitchell, who's a massive loser here in terms of fantasy and just his overall real life role. And this is a guy who's missed a bunch of games every single year in his NFL career, so you can see why they're drafting somebody else. It hurts Jordan Mason. It also hurts Patrick Taylor, who's not listed here, but they actually recently signed the former, I believe, Green Bay Packer is a part of this depth chart as well. So Isaac Rendo is somebody who can come away and in right away and be an RB2 behind Christian McCaffrey. Now for the number 7 player on this list of the NFL draft losers, we will shift to the wide receiver position. And we'll look at a top 10 pick in the draft to the Chicago Bears, Rome Odunze, the wide receiver, who look, top 10 pick overall, going to get paid handsomely, a lot of money. He's not a loser in that regard. But in terms of his 2024 playing time, it starts to get a little bit murky, and that's where the concerns come in. Because let's just look at the receiver room he enters. He enters the receiver room with two legit veteran wide receivers. You have DJ Moore, the alpha there, who just had a career high last year in both receptions, targets, receiving yards with nearly 1,400. And that was with Justin Fields, who struggled. And a lot of people knew where the ball was going. He still had a great year. And then there's Keenan Allen there, who they just traded a 4th-round pick for. And yeah, Keenan Allen is 32 years old. But last year, he didn't slow down. When he was actually out there and healthy, he averaged 11.5 targets per game and was top 5 still at beating man coverage. So as of right now, these two veterans are the clear top options in two wide receiver sets and probably just the target pecking order in general for the Chicago Bears. Which means Rome Odunze will be the third option on this team unless he could push Keenan Allen in two wide receiver sets, which seems unlikely because Keenan Allen's a guy who can get open for a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, and that's a guy you want to have on the field. So this honestly reminds me of the Seattle Seahawks last year. They had their alpha on the outside, DK Metcalf. That could be the DJ Moore in this scenario. They had their route runner who can win in the slot and out wide and Tyler Lockett. That could be their Keenan Allen in this scenario. And then what do they do in the first round last year? They go out there and they draft Jackson Smith and Njigba. Now, the one key difference I have to point out is that JSN, and JSN last year didn't have an awful year, but definitely didn't pay off his fantasy draft capital of being like a 6th or 7th round pick. But I have to point out, he did get hurt early on before the season started in the preseason. And also, he was mostly a slot wide receiver, didn't get used downfield. So it's not a one-for-one comparison. These guys are different receivers. Rome Odunze is not going to be used like Jackson Smith and Njigba. He's going to be used downfield. That's exactly where he wins, at the catch point and after the catch. But the comparison just comes into play because there's two established veterans there who are probably going to earn more targets and maybe even significantly more targets than the incoming rookie. So at least for this year, when Keenan Allen is there on his one-year deal, I think Rome Odunze is somebody who's a little bit concerning for maybe 2024 fantasy football, but 2025 in your dynasty leagues, yeah, it's somebody to invest in. Now let's head back to the running back room for the number 6 players who actually were losers from the NFL draft weekend, and I think this one is sneaking up on people. And it takes us to the Green Bay Packers, and I want to specifically look at their 3rd-round pick, Marshawn Lloyd, a running back out of USC. Because I believe this is going to hurt the backfield in Green Bay. Definitely when you add a running back in the 3rd round, especially one like Marshawn Lloyd. We'll get into his skill sets in a second, but I think it hurts both of these running backs. It definitely hurts AJ Dillon, who only signed a 1-year deal worth like $2.7 million. Might not even make the team if Marshawn Lloyd can beat him out. And I also think it hurts Josh Jacobs, because let's look at the contract Josh Jacobs signed. On the surface, it looks good. 4 years, $48 million. Oh, they're definitely invested in him. You look at the guaranteed money, $12.5 million. Okay, but then you look at the breakdown on SpotTrack here. And look at this. After 2024, there's a potential out in this contract before 2025, meaning that they would only really pay him $14.8 million. That's Josh Jacobs. So they can get out of this contract after a year if they want to. So when you start to think about this, maybe that's why the Packers drafted Marshawn Lloyd in round 3. He weighs 220 pounds and he ran in the 4.4s at the NFL Combine. Elite size and speed. And also the Matt LaFleur offense likes to use two running backs, and Marshawn Lloyd is an upgrade, in my opinion, from AJ Dillon, which is only going to hurt the overall usage and maybe efficiency of one Josh Jacobs if he has to compete every other drive or so with Marshawn Lloyd. Now, Lloyd tore his ACL to actually start his college career in 2021, so he didn't get going until 2022, where he kind of ramped back up, averaged about 5.5 yards per carry. Then he transferred his final year in 2023, and this is where he ends up going out there and having over 820 rushing yards, 1,000 plus total yards when you factor in his receiving yards at USC, and a great overall season showing off that size and speed. Now, there is one big concern with his game. You can poke holes at a couple other things. I mean, he went in the 3rd round. That's most running backs for that case, but it's his fumbling, and this is something he'll definitely have to shore up entering the NFL, and most of the time, guys do fix that. So when I look at this Packers team page, I'm looking at it right now, and I think Marshawn Lloyd's going to be a steal in late best ball drafts and dynasty leagues and definitely season long as the handcuff to Josh Jacobs, but don't be shocked if you see him take on this, oh, I don't know, 10 to 12 touch game role with the Green Bay Packers because they love to use two RBs. And before we get any further, hit the subscribe button if you're finding this content helpful. We have a ton of videos on this channel. I've been making this content now for about 5 or 6 years, so if you're finding it helpful, it helps me out as we push towards 100,000 subscribers, if you would hit that button. Now we enter the top 5 losers from the NFL draft, and we're going to talk about a rookie running back who did not land in the best spot. And that takes us to the Arizona Cardinals, where we're going to have Trey Benson, who ends up going in the 3rd round out of Florida State, and he's going to land in Arizona, where this is kind of split. I've seen a lot of people happy about this landing spot for this year. year, I'm not so excited. Because the last time I checked, James Conner is still there. Yeah, no doubt about it. Trey Benson should come in, and if he doesn't, it's a little bit concerning. Should come in and immediately be the running back two here. But James Conner is still there, and James Conner is still highly effective. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Conner is going to lose his starting role to a third-round running back. This wasn't a first-round investment or even a second. It was a third-round running back. And in 2023, even though the Arizona Cardinals offense wasn't good, Conner still was. He had over 1,200 total yards while ranking top 10 in broken tackles and first in broken tackles per carry. So Conner was still a beast in 2023, and now his only competition is going to be a third-round pick in Trey Benson. But it's at least worth pointing out that James Conner is, you can see right here, turning, or he is already 29 years old, so that's a little bit older for a running back. Maybe only has one, at most two good years left in his career. So when we're talking about next year, 2025 for Dynasty Leagues and beyond, that's where Trey Benson becomes really appealing. And a reminder, he was my number one running back in this class. Because Benson was productive in college at a major program in Florida State. Each of the last 2 years, when you look at his rushing yards, over 900 each year, and then you factor in his receiving yards of about 200 and 150, he averaged over 1,100 yards each of the past two seasons. He had 15 touchdowns last year. And the dude is a legit NFL running back when it comes to his size, about 216 pounds, and then his speed ran in the 4.39s. I mean, you watch him out there, and he just looks like a legit NFL back. And the overall strengths to his game are that NFL-ready size and athleticism, his yards after contact ability, and he's a great pass protector. In this season in 2022 right here, he had one of the best broken tackle seasons we have ever seen in college football. Top five broken tackle season ever, probably top three up there with the likes of like David Montgomery and Kenneth Walker's great college years. And all of that is why I like him heading into 2025, but not necessarily this specific year if you're talking about season-long fantasy football, because James Conner's still there. Now, the number four loser from the NFL draft takes us to the Denver Broncos NFL draft, and I want to look at their fourth round pick, and that is going to be Troy Franklin. I think he was taken with like the 102nd overall pick out of Oregon. And look, Franklin was expected to maybe go in round one to like the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, the Buffalo Bills, teams that didn't have the greatest wide receiver rooms or just had really good offenses and quarterbacks. But he fell all the way to round four, and he lands in a spot that's really not the best for his overall playing time or the quarterback situation. Because yes, Troy Franklin, you can see right here, he was actually reunited with Bo Nix. Now he's going to be when they go to the Denver Broncos. But that doesn't mean that this production that happened last year in 2023 with Bo Nix, 1,300 total yards, a 22% target share, 14 touchdowns, that doesn't mean that that's going to be relived and created over again. Because unlike last year when he was the wide receiver one on Oregon by far and away, it's not going to be the case in the NFL against tougher defensive backs now when you look at his competition. Cortland Sutton is still the clear number one option there. I believe that Josh Reynolds is still going to be a starter, signed after putting up 604 yards, his second most of his career with the Detroit Lions last year. That's a reliable veteran. And then you just have a competition for the wide receiver three role between Tim Patrick, who's returning from injury, when healthy has been efficient for this team. Marvin Mims, their second round pick from last year. Marvin Mims is a guy who has 4.3 speed, and they traded up for him, and he averaged 17 yards per catch as a rookie, and then Troy Franklin. So I think Troy Franklin as a fourth round pick, probably going to lose out to Marvin Mims, but we'll have to see how that camp battle turns out. So this means that there's a realistic chance that Troy Franklin is the wide receiver five on his depth chart, maybe wide receiver four, which is not the greatest scenario when you were remembering that, oh, he was supposed to land in the first or second round and be the number one or number two option for a team. Now, before we enter the top three of these biggest losers from the NFL draft, and these guys really saw their stock take a major hit, I want to let you know about the Fantasy Blueprint. Because if you want to win your fantasy league, and that includes Dynasty Leagues as well this year, this Fantasy Blueprint will have everything you need to do just that. And you can check out everything it has to offer on this page right here, all the tools and analysis you'll need. But here's the big thing. For the entire year, all of the summer preparing for the NFL season, and then every week during the season, all the way till your fantasy playoffs in December, I will help you. And it's just $10 for the entire year. And if you don't make your fantasy playoffs, this is risk-free. You get it back. So it's just $10 for the entire year. All those months, less than $1 a month, you don't make your fantasy playoffs, right back to you. No questions asked, that money. Now, over 1,000 people signed up for the Blueprint last year, and 99% of those people did not ask for their money back. They ended up making their fantasy playoffs. So be sure to click the link in the description below or scan that QR code on the screen right now if you want to get your Fantasy Blueprint today. The number three loser from the NFL draft weekend was Adonai Mitchell for a variety of reasons. Mitchell ends up being the Colts' second round pick at the 52nd overall pick, so he fell to the second round. He doesn't have as good of a quarterback. That's one reason why he's a loser here. He's going to just make less money in real life because he falls to the second round, and also probably a worse offense. But the even bigger reason is because of the competition. First off, there's no way he's going to be the number one receiver on this team, at least not right away or for the coming years, because Michael Pittman is there. Michael Pittman just signed a 3-year, $70-plus million extension. There's also Josh Downs, who last year, Josh Downs goes out there as a rookie in the third round, and he ends up putting up over 700 yards, almost 800 yards, and was a top 20 player at beating man coverage. So it's going to be tough for Adonai Mitchell to compete with even that. And again, another sneaky loss is the fact that he doesn't have or doesn't land in a situation with a team like the Chargers and Justin Herbert, the Bills and Josh Allen, maybe even the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. No, he has Anthony Richardson coming off of an injury, and we love Anthony Richardson, but let's not kid ourselves and say that he can sustain three wide receivers. He might not even be able able to sustain two because of his rushing ability and upside. Now, all that said, he's still a second round pick, which is solid draft capital for AD Mitchell, and there's a reason to like him. He's just an athletic freak. He's 205 pounds, and look at these athletic testing numbers. 4.3, 4.40 time, elite agility and catch radius and burst. All this stuff is great. But there are questions on his profile. Mitchell has effort concerns when you watch some of his routes, and his college efficiency was never great. Now, a reason maybe for the efficiency not being great in the overall production could be the fact that Quinn Ewers overthrew him a lot last year, probably left like 300 plus yards out on the field. But I just still can't get over the fact that he did not land in a great spot based on where our expectations were for him, where he could have maybe been a number one or number two receiver for a team. Now he's going to be fighting with Alec Pierce for the number three job, and I do think it's a job that he can win, but let's not just assume that he will. Just like last year, Quentin Johnson for the Chargers couldn't beat out Josh Palmer in training camp, and Quentin Johnson was a first round pick. So it wasn't a great weekend for Adonai Mitchell, but it also was even worse for this next player, because the number two biggest loser from the NFL draft weekend takes us to the Raiders draft, and it's because Brock Bowers was drafted, the tight end out of Georgia in round one, one of the best tight end prospects we've ever seen, which is going to hurt their current tight end, Michael Mayer. And look, Mayer was having a solid year last year. You look at his overall numbers as a rookie, only 304 yards. Okay, not great, but in the second half of the season, he started to come on. He earned twice as many targets in the second half of the year for the Raiders last year. And that's a great sign, because rookie tight ends usually take 2 or 3 years to start to break out, and he was doing it towards the end of last year, but now that's probably going to be put to a halt because Brock Bowers is there. And although Mayer was like one of the best tight ends we've seen in a while in terms of production at Notre Dame, Brock Bowers is just another level ahead of him at Georgia. So really tough competition he faced. Right away, as an 18-year-old freshman, earns a 20% target share, 882 yards, and this is an offense that spreads the ball around. This is like a 1,200-yard season for a lot of guys. He's a tight end. Breaks out the next year and does even better here, 942 yards. And in 2023, it doesn't look like he had a good year compared to the others with 713 yards, but he only played 10 games, as you can see right here. Actually averaged his most yards per game, over 71 per game in 2023. The point being is the dude got better every single year as a productive tight end who's also very versatile in the ways that you can use him, and he was named the best tight end in the country, the Mackey Award, in back-to-back seasons. Bowers is best known for his after-the-catch skills, contested catchability, and understanding of reading and beating zone defenses. And for Michael Mayer, it wasn't just the fact that Brock Bowers is there. I mean, that is a big loss, and that alone is a reason why he's going to be an NFL draft loser and lose a lot of fantasy value, but it's also the fact that the Raiders were like the only team that needed a quarterback who didn't get one, which means Gardner Minshew, their offseason signing where they gave a 2-year deal, decent amount of guaranteed money, probably going to be their quarterback, or Aiden O'Connell. Either scenario here is not great compared to if they would have gotten one of the higher end rookies, would have been able to maybe get a Michael Penix and have a little bit more upside to your passing attack. So it was a rough draft weekend for Michael Mayer, but believe it or not, there was somebody who had an even worse weekend. And that takes us to our number one biggest loser of the NFL draft weekend. We go to the Carolina Panthers draft picks, and it is going to be because of the fact that Jonathan Brooks was taken in the second round by the Carolina Panthers. Chuba Hubbard is the biggest loser here. And now you can say the Carolina backfield in general is a loser, like Miles Sanders. He got $6 million per year last year, but then he lost his job to Chuba Hubbard. So he was already probably like on the way out from this team. But the fact that Jonathan Brooks was drafted hurts Chuba Hubbard because he was in line after having a solid season last year to be the guy this year. But now all of that has come to a crashing stop, because not only was Jonathan Brooks taken in the second round, the Panthers ended up trading up for him. They gave up a draft pick in order to do so because they value him and they knew a lot of other teams did as well. And let me correct that. They actually gave up two fifth round picks in addition to swapping their second round pick to get Brooks. This is significant draft capital. Brooks is a legit running back. You'll see his college production is kind of weird. 2021 and 2022, look at this right here. Only 21 carries and 30 carries. Well, it was because of the fact that he was behind Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, two NFL running backs. But in 2023, he finally is able to get his workload. He plays 10 games. Between his rushing yards of over 1,100 and his receiving yards, you can see right here, of 286, he had over 1,400 total yards. He averaged 142 total yards per game, and the film looked good. Now, his season did end with an ACL tear, so we didn't get to get any athletic testing from him, and we only have a 10-game sample, which makes his profile a little bit suspect, but from what we saw last year, he was arguably the best back in this draft class. And of course, all those things, plus the ACL, could be a concern, but the fact that the Panthers traded up for him in the second round kind of wipes those away because it just shows they don't view it as a major concern. And Brooks' greatest strengths are his NFL size, vision, and strength. I mean, he last weighed in at 216 pounds, probably a little bit bigger than that now, around 220 pounds, which is like the ideal size for an NFL back. And a lot of people don't like the landing spot for Jonathan Brooks, but I actually think that's an interesting one. We'll talk more about this in a future video, but he gets Dave Canales, who just allowed and used Rashad White in Tampa Bay last year as a workhorse back, not a guy known to be a workhorse back. Jonathan Brooks definitely can be that. And Rashad White had 330 plus touches, top three in the NFL last year. Maybe we get that for Jonathan Brooks. So there is a chance that to start the season, Chuba Hubbard is still the guy just because Brooks is coming off of an ACL tear. He had surgery in November, probably be ready by August or so. So they might ramp up Jonathan Brooks for the first month or so. But then after that, we might start to see these 15, 16, 20 plus touch games the second half of the year for Brooks, which is when I want to actually be having him. So these were the 10 biggest losers from the NFL draft weekend. I'm curious in the comments to see what you guys think, which players I might have missed, worst or which guys you just disagree with from this video. And if you want to check out the 10 biggest winners from the NFL draft weekend, well, oh, over here, you can check out this beautiful video that we released earlier in the week, a couple of days ago, or depending on when you're watching this, a couple of weeks ago. Either way, check out that video. YouTube believes you will like it as well.